we are passionate about loving God and loving people as well. In the book of Matthew, Jesus has this pretty incredible exchange with this lawyer. And so what had happened was this lawyer wants to test Jesus. So he asks him a question, and here's how it plays out. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. You'll see it on the screens. So teacher, this lawyer asks Jesus a question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And then Jesus replies, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. And throughout his time on earth, Jesus left us a great example of what it looks like to love, to serve our neighbors, whether it's here locally or in places like Brazil. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, so it's before he's arrested and then he's carried off to be crucified. So before all of that, he's having dinner with his disciples. And as they're eating dinner, he gets up and in a great act of humility, he washes his disciples' feet. And they're truly impacted by what happened. And because a teacher of Jesus' stature should not be washing his disciples' feet like he was doing. And then Jesus says something that has always caught my attention, something that I think speaks to each and every one of us. This is John 13, verses 14 through 15, and then 34 through 35. So this is right after Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Look at what he says. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You ever washed anyone's feet? Not your kids. Maybe you have washed your kids' feet, but anybody else? Yeah, not always easy to do, is it? For I have given you an example, he said, that you should do just as I have done to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. What we need to understand here in this text is that Jesus was establishing a pattern of humility and of servitude for Christians to follow. And he knew the impact that loving one's neighbor by humbly serving them would have on that person's life. Now, this summer, we had the several here from Hope head to Brazil. Also, last weekend, we had a great mission outreach opportunity. We called it Mission Hope. And there were 50 of us here from Hope who just tried to come alongside and serve our neighbors and help meet their practical needs. And it was an amazing 2 days of all that happened. Yes, thank you to all who were a part of Mission Hope. It truly was a team effort. What I loved seeing is we had people of all ages who were serving families, kids, youth, adults. And I believe we made a profound impact on our neighbors here around Hope Church and the different ministries that we served as well. You know, there were some great relationships that were established, and our goal, our hope, is to continue to be able to build upon those relationships. And as I think about Mission Hope, as I think about those who were a part of the Brazil trip, I think we can ask the question, was our mission accomplished? And that's a good question to ask. And when it comes to Mission Hope, I know those from Brazil who went to Brazil would say the same thing. Yeah, I'd say for that event or that outreach purpose, our mission was accomplished. God showed up in some pretty powerful ways. Yet I believe the real impact of a weekend like Mission Hope or a mission trip to Brazil or India or Boca Chica is what happens after the trip. And so we need to ask the question, how do we as God's people continue to seek to love our neighbors and serve them in the name of Christ? And so as we're riding the wave, if you will, of a pretty impactful couple of weeks in Brazil and an impactful weekend last weekend during Mission Hope, I just want to talk about 3 quick ways. I'm not going to be long this morning, but just 3 ways that we as a church can continue to seek to love and serve our neighbors. 3 ways that we can continue to live out the great commandment. First way is this. You can follow along in your sermon notes. Keep Christ central. Keep Christ central. Here's what I mean by that. As we seek to love and serve our neighbors, Christ must be at the center of all we do. You see, if Jesus is not at the center, if he is not the motivation for us going out and serving and loving other people and sharing the hope that we have in Christ with them, if Christ is not our motivation, then what's the point? I think if we're not careful, serving can easily become a social justice issue. We go, we help, we serve others, but Jesus isn't really a part of what we do. And yes, it's good to help others. It's good to serve. But we also want to look for opportunities to share Christ as we are lending a helping hand. Can we get the picture up on the screen? These were my favorite moments from Mission Hope. So after we would finish a project, after we were at a home, we would gather with those who lived there and we would pray for them. And as we prayed for them, we simply shared the reason why we were serving in this way, that it's because of Jesus. And we had some pretty powerful times of prayer with our neighbors. I love Romans 1:16, which says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." And we shouldn't be ashamed of whom we believe in and whom we live for. Amen. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. It is because of Jesus and what he has done for us that we seek to help and serve others. And we want to look for all those opportunities to share Christ with those who don't know him. Along with this idea of keeping Jesus at the center, we must remember the importance of growing in our relationship with Christ, of continually abiding in him, as John 15:5 says. There's a passage in Acts 4 that I've always been challenged by. So what's happening is that Peter and John, they're disciples of Jesus. Jesus has gone up into heaven, and so the disciples are out. They're preaching. They're sharing about Christ. The religious rulers of the day don't like it. So they have Peter and John arrested, and they're brought before the religious court, and they continue to preach about Jesus. And then Acts 4:13 says this about Peter and John. "Now when they," that's the religious rulers, "saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." Does your spouse, if you're married, do your neighbors, do your children, do your coworkers, for those of you who work, when they look at you, do they say, you know, there's nothing really special, nothing really spectacular about them, but man, there's something different. And that difference is Jesus. And I want to know more about this Jesus whom this person claims to serve. Jay Pathick, he's a pastor in Denver, and Denver's had this real transformation happening in the city as churches have gotten serious about loving God and loving their neighbors. And he says this, you'll see the quote, "When we are around people for any amount of time, we begin to share with them the things we love. If you love Jesus, then he will naturally come up in your conversations. It happens as we share the substance of who we are. So the more you love Jesus, the more that love will be apparent in your conversations and relationships." And that's why it's so important that we come back to this principle of abiding in Christ. Because as we abide in Christ, as we make growing in our relationship with Christ a priority, I believe that sharing about Jesus will just become natural to us. Not only that, but as we abide in Christ, serving others, loving our neighbors becomes an act of worship towards the one who has rescued, towards the one who has redeemed us. And that's when serving others, that's when loving our neighbors truly becomes impactful, when we see it as an act of worship. Another way we can continue to live out the great commandment in our everyday lives, one way we can continue to love our neighbors is this. Use your gifts. Just use your gifts. God has given each of us different gifts, different talents, different passions, different abilities. And he wants us to use those gifts he's given us to serve others and build one another up. Ephesians 4 talks about that. And again, as we came together for Mission Hope, it truly was a team effort. We had people here at Hope who were praying for us. We had those who were helping with food so that we could come back during the day and have lunch as a team. We had those who were watching kids so that parents could go out and work. We had those with construction skills, tearing up a concrete sidewalk, putting new concrete down. Those who love to paint and those who are good at painting, I made sure to put them on the painting crew. Those who were part of the landscaping crew and yard work team. Thankfully, we had people. I was part of this team. And thankfully, we had a few who knew the difference between flowers and weeds, right? Because had it just been me, I would have pulled everything out and left the neighbors with no flowers. And then we would have had just a bunch of angry neighbors, right? And so I'm grateful that people used their gifts and abilities. And when we use the different gifts, the talents, the passions, the abilities God has given us to serve others, that's when we truly begin to make an impact in our communities, our churches, our neighborhoods. You know, no matter what age or stage of life you are in, God has gifted you with talents, with abilities, with passions. I would encourage you, use those. Use those to serve, to bless those around you. There are people from Hope who were not able to be a part of the different projects that we did because of health reasons, or maybe they were out of town, but I'm telling you, they used their gifts. There were many who were praying for us. There were those that have the gift of encouragement, and they sent us encouraging emails as we posted pictures on social media and Facebook. They would comment, and let me tell you, that was such a great encouragement to the team. Thank you for those who did that. When we use the gifts, the talents, the abilities God has given us, others are blessed and God is glorified. One more way we can continue to live out the great commandment. I'm just listing three today. There's many more. But here's the last point for this morning. It's this. Remember the person next door. Remember the person next door. You know, we don't have to wait for the next Mission Hope or the next Mission Brazil or whatever overseas mission trip it is to find ways to serve others and share Christ with them. And is it important for us as a church to continue to have outreach events like Mission Hope? Yeah. Is it important for us to continue to invest in overseas missions? Yes. And we will continue to do those things, but my prayer has been that God would grow a desire, that he would grow a passion in each of us to seek ways to serve our neighbors now, today. Because God has placed people around each and every one of us who need help, people whom we can serve, people whom we can share Christ's love with. Back in April, after Easter, we did this series that we called Neighboring God's Way. And during one of the sermons, we were looking at the story of the Good Samaritan, and we were trying to answer the question, who is my neighbor? And I talked about how in the scriptures, the word for neighbor means this, whoever happens to be nearby or close at hand. Whoever happens to be nearby or close at hand. That's your neighbor. And Jesus said, love your neighbor. So perhaps the best thing you can do today, after you get home, maybe you go out for brunch, or maybe you have some coffee, you get back home, maybe the best thing, maybe God will encourage some of you to do this, is you just go and you just knock on your neighbor's door. It might be a little awkward. If it's awkward, blame me, all right? Say, hey, we're at church today, and our pastor said to go and say hi to you, so I'm saying hi to you. Blame me all you want if that gets you talking to your neighbors, but maybe just check in, see how they're doing. Ask them how their summer's going. Maybe ask about ways you can pray for them. I'm telling you, if you ask that simple question, how can I pray for you? You'd be surprised how that can open up the doors for the love, for the gospel of Christ to be shared. One of the people whom we helped out last weekend, his name is John. And he's actually the next door neighbor of Bev and Jerry DeLater, who are here this morning. They live just a few blocks north of the church. And Bev had reached out to me and she said, hey, Ben, could you contact our neighbor, John? He has a lot of health needs. He's elderly. His wife passed away in February. And he just wasn't able to get to his yard work. And I said, sure, I'll contact John. So I went and met with John and just asked if a team of us from the church could go and help clean up his yard. And he had a big yard. It was a lot of work. And so last Saturday, the team of us who were on the landscaping and yard work team, we show up. It's hot. It's 1 o'clock. If you remember last weekend, temps were in the 90s. It was really humid. But man, this team just showed up with joy. And we're cleaning up the flower beds. We're putting mulch down. And we had a lot of young people on this team, a lot of young adults, a lot of youth. And I kept watching John. I mean, he must have come out of his house like 15 times. So I don't know if he didn't trust us or if he just enjoyed seeing these young people work in his yard. But it was a beautiful thing. And afterwards, we just prayed for John and we got to know him a little bit. And throughout the day, he must have mentioned it 4 or 5 times. And Bev and Jerry, you need to know this. He mentioned how grateful he is for you two, for Bev and Jerry. He says, you know, time and time again, when I have needs, they have been there. And God has put great neighbors in my life. That's what John said. And by Bev and Jerry, just loving their neighbor, not only have they impacted him, but we as a church had an opportunity to bless John and to share a love of Christ with him in a very practical way. Again, Jay Pathick says this, and we'll close with this morning, on the importance of neighboring. He says, the practice of neighboring creates incredible opportunities for us as believers to connect our story to the stories of our neighbors and to God's story. So let's not wait. Let's not wait for the next Mission Hope or the next overseas mission trip to go out and serve others, to love our neighbors. Now let's make a commitment now to seek to live out the great commandment, loving God, loving our neighbors with those who God has placed right next to us. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the example that Jesus has left us, one of truly humbling ourselves and serving the needs, washing the feet of those around us. And Father, I pray that you would help us as we seek to continue to serve as Christ followers, as we continue to seek to love our neighbors. God, this isn't always easy, and so I pray that you would give each and every one of us, even today or this week, that you would give us opportunities to go out. Maybe to just knock on that neighbor's door, Lord, even if it's awkward. Maybe you could use that for the love, for the hope of Jesus to be shared with those around us. So thank you that we're not alone. Father, I pray that we would continue to remember to abide in you, to grow in our relationship with you, and that as we do that, we would see serving our neighbors as an act of worship, and that you would be glorified in many ways. We pray all this in your name. And all God's people said, amen, amen.